I believe you as a church are being called by God to cross the line, to do the things that God is calling you to do, which may not necessarily be what you're used to, may not necessarily be what you're comfortable with. The things that you do that might get criticism, it might attract criticism, very often from other believers. But I believe God is calling you to cross the line. Now, that was, he elaborated on that, but not in sort of any specific detail. And that, both those of us who were there, I guess many of us have never forgotten that. I certainly haven't. And so a couple of months ago, when we were considering what should be our theme for the year, this message from Bob Moffat came to me, and I just suggested to Barry, I said, what about crossing the line? And he said, you know, I've been thinking about that as well. I think that is what we should do. Crossing the line in all kinds of ways. And so that is what our theme for the year is. And the first one, it's my job to kick it off, and we're going to be looking at crossing the line in all the different ways that perhaps, well, as many as we can think of, as many a way as God puts to us over the coming months and during this year. We're looking at the way crossing the line. And we thought, actually, what better way can we start the year with than looking at Jesus? Jesus crossed the line in many, many ways. He crossed the line. He wasn't scared to. And I want us just to look at this first account of Jesus. This is one of the first miracles, the first healings that Jesus performed. So it's going to come up on the screen now. And here it is. I think, can everybody see that? Can we have a couple of lights off at the front here? Because it's a bit... that's better. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. This is Matthew chapter 8. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. And that is the story. That is the story of Jesus and this man with leprosy. Now, I think there's a lot of things we can learn from this. This is Jesus crossing the line. This is Jesus breaking the rules. Not breaking the laws of God, but breaking the rules of the time. Because Jesus never sinned. And first of all, let's just look at where was Jesus. It says he came down from the mountainside. Just before that, he'd been up preaching the Sermon on the Mount. He'd been up on the hillside, load of people listening to him, and he was beginning to chip away at the traditions that the good Jewish people had been brought up with, the great religious people. People were very, very sincere, people who were very devout. But he was beginning to chip away and say, you know, this isn't really what God intended, for you to be bound by law after law after law. And he was beginning to usher in the time that we now have the fortune, the great privilege of living in, the time of grace, the time with God giving us everything that we need, and God treating us in a fantastic way because of what Jesus was going to do for his people. And that was what he was doing. He was up on the hill, he was preaching the Sermon on the Mount. He came down and immediately starts to put some of these things that he's talking about, the things that are not specifically there in the Sermon on the Mount but are actually implicit there. He comes down and he sees this poor guy. Now, I know those of you, do you remember a snowy day a few weeks ago when there was a baptism held here? I preached about a leper. Now, it's not just something that I, you know, it's not my leper thing. We did consider There were a couple of things we considered. Getting Barry to do his leper cleansing man of Galilee act, which some of you would be very disappointed to see once again, but I don't mind disappointing you. We were looking for a volunteer to dress as a leper and sit in the front row here and see who went near that person. But Malcolm wasn't willing, so. But, you know, I'm not obsessed with lepers. But leprosy is one of those diseases mentioned quite a few times in the Bible. And this specific point, you couldn't go near a leper. If I can just read a few of the things. The Israelites had got absolutely specific instructions about how to deal with leprosy and other skin infections. So if you had a skin infection or leprosy, you had to go to be examined. If you were infected, the leprous person who has the disease, this is all in Leviticus, shall wear torn clothes. So you couldn't look smart as a leper anyway. You had to have torn clothes. Part of the uniform, so that people could see you and give you a very wide berth. So you wear ragged old clothes. Your hair on your head had to hang loose. You had to cover your upper lip. I was doing that last night with the same as Kevin over there, with a Scouse moustache, but it kept falling off. My one wouldn't stick on to my existing hair. So he had to cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. So if anybody saw anybody there, had to condemn himself or herself and shout, unclean, unclean. So torn clothes, hair loose, covered upper lip. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So the leper was not only considered physically unclean, but also spiritually unclean. No fellowship, no contact, had to be quite a long way off from anybody else. And the reason for that was, of course, that they didn't have a single cure. There was no way of curing leprosy as a disease in those days. There was no way. Once you got it, well, if you got over it, you were one of the very few. But if you did, you could be welcome back, providing you fulfilled certain criteria. But mostly you couldn't, and it's a horrible disease. Now, Mark tells me it's very easily treatable. Course of the right antibiotics early on, it's not a big deal these days. But of course, in those days, it was something totally different. And if you'd got it, you were condemned. Your voice, it attacked your voice box. The voice became very raspy. And it gave you something, you know, a kind of sound that was not very attractive. But also attacked your nervous system. Now, it's great that we have feeling. We can touch things. We can tell if it's hot or cold. If we sit on something sharp, we jump up quickly. If we, you know, knock our foot against a rock or something like that, we cry out in pain and we make sure it doesn't happen again. But for a leper, someone with leprosy, as it starts to attack, you can damage yourself and not know you're damaging yourself. You could pour boiling water over your hand and not feel it, and then do yourself great damage. And then that damage will obviously become infected and will cause further complications. You had big problems because we don't like experiencing pain, but it's a great thing we do at times. It certainly is, because it protects us. It takes us, means that we can step away from or move away from what is causing us pain. So a lot of people thought that God inflicted leprosy on people as a punishment for their sins. That's what they believed. But they were absolutely despised and loathed, and you just couldn't be your own people. And there were all kinds of things. Leprosy was thought upon, you know, as going near a leper was second only to going near a dead body and lurking about that, because there were very strict laws regarding these things. So this guy, you just imagine how he felt. No one was going to go near him. He was excluded. Nobody would even look at him. And the rules were very, very strict. The rules were very, very clear. They had to stand a distance away. If they saw someone coming, they had to move away. They had to shout out the warning. You couldn't go near them. But how does that feel? The only other person you can actually have a relationship with is another leper. You can't see your own family. You can't go back in. You can't renew old acquaintances with your mates. You can't do that. All you can do is stay away. Keep clear. If there was anybody willing to speak to you, and they probably weren't going to particularly, it would have to be done at a distance by shouting at each other. And we see Jesus, he came down from giving that fantastic sermon that we all look at nowadays and we think, this is brilliant. This is different. This is absolutely revolutionary. And he came to this guy, and this guy calls out to him and asks Jesus to help him. In one account, I think it's in Mark, it says that why did Jesus touch him? It's obvious because Jesus had great compassion for him. There's a guy who no one will go near and no one will touch. And Jesus sees the guy where he is, and he reaches out and he touches the untouchable. Isn't that absolutely amazing? Isn't that different? Isn't that different from every other or every religion in the world? Jesus comes as God of glory, as the creator of this universe, and he deigns to touch somebody who no one else will even go near. And he says to the guy, if you're willing to do it, you can heal me. And Jesus says, yes, I am. And he didn't have to touch him, because there's another account in the scriptures where there are 10 guys with leprosy. And Jesus doesn't touch them, but he heals them from a distance. He didn't have to touch him. Why did he touch him? Because Jesus could see that this guy was absolutely hurting and aching, not just from his leprosy, but from the fact that he was isolated and couldn't have contact with people. So Jesus touched him, had great compassion on him, and he was healed. Jesus crossed lines. He did things that other religious people absolutely, totally disapproved of. And I believe that those years ago, Bob Moffat was speaking to this church, and he was giving us something God wants us to move into. He was telling us about something that God wants us to move. Now, it's not a comfortable thing, touching the untouchable, speaking to the outcasts, but God loves them. And the challenge this year is, we've just looked at this guy with leprosy. Jesus healed him. He said, don't go and tell anyone. And it's not this account, but other accounts in the Gospels say that this guy couldn't keep quiet about it. He went off and he started telling everybody, look, he went, obviously he did it the right thing, went to the priest. I don't suppose the priest was awfully pleased to see him, but the priest looked at him, obviously from a distance, didn't get too close, and then as he looked and saw that this guy was healed, obviously he looked and gave him a thorough examination, and then declared that he had been healed. And this guy goes and he tells so many people, look, I was a leper, I'm back amongst us. Jesus has healed me. But to do that, Jesus had to cross a line. He had to go against what people felt. Now, I'm not talking about going into sin. It's not that kind of crossing a line. You know, people say you've crossed the line now and you've done that. It's a terrible deed you've done. Not that kind of crossing the line, but crossing the line in the will of God and for his glory. See, the church, I guess, for quite a while, has become a place where we disapprove of this and we disapprove of that. Now, we always disapprove of sin, and Jesus always did. But that doesn't mean we disapprove of the sinner. That doesn't mean we know, because we know from our own personal experience that we are sinners. But the challenge this year is definitely going to be, where does God want us to cross the line? Do the things. I can remember a few years ago, this is only a very small thing, but some years ago, for my punishment, or what it was, service, I was on the committee for a thing called Together for the Kingdom, which is now, it's sort of been replaced by Heart for Harlow. Together for the Kingdom replaced something called HAEF, Harlow Area Evangelistic Fellowship. But these things, which is an attempt to get churches working together to, you know, to commonly proclaim Jesus in this town. And we were thinking about, we'd done for years, that this organisation had done a display at the Harlow Town Show. It used to be in August Bank Holiday. It's probably still going, I don't know if it is, but we had had stands and we'd had various things and tables, giving out tracts and talking to people and so on. We put on a little act. This time we had no idea what we were going to do, and I made the suggestion, because we as a church, we'd been going into servant evangelism, in other words, doing things around the area just to show the love of God. That's servant evangelism. See, the trouble is, a tent crusade, probably these days, wouldn't attract too many people, because those days are gone. Because so many people have gone far away from God and don't know much about him and not interested. But we always felt, as a church, we'd sort of read this book, I think Sandra Wilson gave us it, wasn't it? Conspiracy of Kindness. That actually by showing servant attitude, showing the love of God to somebody, is the first steps towards evangelism. No, you won't get necessarily anybody absolutely saved straight away. We found as a church, as we did a bit more of that, more people came in. And the suggestion was put forward for the town show. I said, why don't we handle all the litter collection, all the clear up, pick up all the stuff that everybody's throwing away. We'll pick it up. We'll take it on. We'll put it to the council. And it was put to the council. They were overjoyed. They were getting free litter picking. And it was all being put away for them, no extra charge. They supplied us with the grippy things, the picking up and the bags and all the rest of it, and the industrial gloves. And we went around and we picked up so much stuff, litter, that people were throwing down, you know, the burger wrappers, the sweet papers, the lolly sticks, all the stuff that was just dumped everywhere, the cups. And it was a good time, great time of fellowship. We were serving the people. One church leader didn't like this. He wrote a very stinging letter to us and said, we are wasting our time doing this. We should be preaching the gospel. If we were not preaching the gospel to these people, how are they going to hear it? Picking up litter does nothing. What a waste of effort. What a waste of time. Was it a waste of time when Jesus washed his disciples' feet? Was it a waste of time when Jesus gave hope to the hopeless people, when Jesus did servant things for his people? And that's only a small example, but that's where, you know, we may get criticized if we follow what God wants us to do. How are we to cross the line? Well, I want to leave that one with you. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be seeing how Jesus did cross the line in a number of ways. And if Jesus crossed the line, perhaps he's calling us, his people here, to cross the line. I've got a short video. Are we wired up at the back there for a sound? If we could do that, make sure we do that. I've got a short video. This, unusually, is made by some British people rather than Americans. So we're going to see this. This is just a little... just a little taste. It's not the full story, but it's, I think it just helps a little bit. Crossing the line.